We saw a lot yesterday. Odell Beckham Jr. returning to the lineup, but it was all about Myles Garrett and the defense. To talk about that is Scott Petrak on the Petrak Report, brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Maryland Fritz Company, Attorneys at Law, and Royal Business Equipment. Scott, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. It's kind of a fun weekend at First Energy Stadium. Sort of had like this alumni thing with a lot of former Browns there as well, and the play on the field against the Bears. What triggered the defense to do as well?
Well, I think there's a bunch of things. I think, first of all, there's a lot of criticism against the defense after the first couple of weeks, whether or not it was, you know, I thought it was too early to make those criticisms, but they were getting that criticism. I think the fact that the Bears started a rookie quarterback in Justin Fields and their coaching staff did not put him in a great position. And then Myles Garrett, you know, obviously he had the 4.5 sacks yesterday that set a team record. When we talked to him on Friday, he was frustrated that he got double teamed so much against the Texans. That is the most it had ever happened to him. And at the same time, he said he was frustrated that his teammates weren't capitalizing on the fact that they had one-on-one opportunities while he was getting double and triple teamed. And, you know, I think he was trying to send a message to his teammates like, hey, everybody's got to step up here, including myself. And I think they really took that to heart, and you saw that with the 9 sacks of Justin Fields.
The game still in the first half was closer than what you would, you know, as they say, the final score, the way things were going. So was there any doubt throughout what was going on, or was it just a matter of the offense trying to get things going?
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, the Browns dominated pretty much all day. They moved the ball, and they had 5 first half possessions, and they moved it across midfield on all 5, but until the last possession, they'd only come away with, you know, 1 field goal because they had 2 fourth down opportunities that were disastrous. Baker Mayfield got sacked on both of them. There looked like miscommunication or confusion on both of those, which is unusual for a Kevin Stefanski-coached offense. So that's why the score didn't reflect the stats, because at one point the Bears had like 1 first down in the first half, right, like up until the end of the first half. The Browns were moving the ball. They just didn't put points on the board, which is why that drive at the end of the first half was so important. Donovan Peoples-Jones makes a big catch to get things started. Kareem Hunt takes over. Mayfield hits tight end Austin Hooper for the touchdown. And once that happened, it became 10-3. It felt like, okay, this is really going to go the Browns' way. And then that's how it went in the second half.
Scott, going back to Myles Garrett for just a second on defense, I was on the road yesterday, so I didn't see any of the game. I listened to it. So back to your point about in the previous game, he was double, triple teamed, nicked at the line. What about yesterday? Was he more one-on-one?
Yeah, I think, you know, I haven't gone back and watched it again, but that when I paid attention to him yesterday, it felt that way. He also moved around a little bit more, and I think was looking for the perfect matchup. So, you know, he would come off the edge, and he had success coming off the edge. You know, the Bears did try to chip him or double-team him, but on one of the sacks, they tried to do that, and it still was not successful. And then he also would slide inside on passing situations, you know, 3rd and long. And he liked the advantage. He liked that matchup over the guard, and he was splitting the interior blocks. So I think the Bears' plan wasn't great. And then Myles was just playing at another level. And when you're winning, like the Browns are winning in the second half, obviously the Bears have to pass more, and it creates more opportunities, you know, not only for Myles, but for the rest of the defense. And he really could have had 5.5. I mean, that's what I led my game story with. He had Fields in his hands on the last defensive play, and he slipped out, and then Jadeveon Clowney cleaned it up. You know, Clowney finishes with 2 sacks, his first 2 sacks since 2019. And like I said, the Browns finished with 9. So it wasn't just Garrett, but Garrett was, you know, almost unblockable yesterday.
Ed, what were your thoughts when the Browns called out their place kicker to try a 57-yarder? What were your thoughts going into that?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, they'd gone for 2 fourth downs earlier and missed them both, but those were 4th and 5 and 4th and 1. This situation, I think, was 4th and 15. So you can't go for it on 4th and 15 from, you know, Chicago's 39. So your options are, do you try to punt and pin them deep, or do you go for the 57-yarder? And I think this was I think the reasoning with two things. Number one, they were struggling to score points, so let's try to get 3 points. And number two is Kevin Stefanski just wants to be aggressive. Like, that's his kind of his mantra. That's his philosophy. We saw it when they go for it on fourth down, right? We saw it against Kansas City when they went for 2 instead of 1 after a penalty, you know, after a touchdown and then a penalty on the extra point. He's trying to set that aggressive mindset, and I think this played into that. It's like, hey, we're not scoring any points. What good does it do, you know, for us to try to pin him on the 10, and then you get a touchback and you only pick up, you know, 18 or 19 yards? Let's try to go get points. And it was a good day to kick at the stadium. You know, I don't think he'll go for 57 yarders in, you know, December and January, but it was a good day, and Chase McLaughlin made him look good for making that decision.
I guess it also gives confidence to your kicker that you get him out there as many times as you did, and he's doing well so far.
Yeah, as long as he makes it, right? And then we talked to McLaughlin after the game, and, yeah, he said the fact is the Browns show trust in him. And this is a guy with not a big NFL track record. You know, he wasn't with the team last year. You know, he was in a training camp battle this year before Cody Parkey got hurt. So the fact that Stefanski did show trust in him helped to build the confidence of Chase McLaughlin. There's no doubt about it.
You mentioned Kevin Stefanski now heading home, right? Craig was talking about the storylines for this week. We got Minnesota going for there. What kind of stories do you see developing there? Or what's obviously Kevin probably keeping it close to the vest on any kind of conversation about that. But what do you see about him taking on the Vikings this week?
Yeah, that's going to be a big storyline this week. He spent 14 years there, right? That's the only other place he's worked in the NFL is with Minnesota. He might have had a PR internship or something in Philly, but that was his real NFL start was in Minnesota. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of emotions. It'll be interesting to see how he deals with the questions because he's going to get them from us. I think he'll get them from, you know, Minnesota writers or, you know, media. I'm sure he'll try to deflect a lot of it, but, you know, it does mean a lot to him, that city, so in that time he spent there. So that'll be one of the storylines. The Vikings finally got a win yesterday. They beat a good Seattle team to get to 1-2. They could be 3-0. They lost the opener in overtime at Cincinnati. Week 2, they should have beat Arizona, but they missed a short kick at the end of the game. So, you know, they're a well-coached team. Mike Zimmer, you know, he kept Kevin Stefanski when he took over in Minnesota, and then he promoted him to offensive coordinator. So that dynamic will be interesting. How does Stefanski attack Mike Zimmer's defense? How does Mike Zimmer's defense try to stop, you know, Stefanski's offense, which he knows so well from him being, you know, in Minnesota for those years? And then, you know, the Browns, it feels like the Browns, you know, you're getting into the meat of the season at this point, right? You get over that first couple of games. The Browns have obviously won 2 in a row. Now can they get on a little bit of a run, right? You go on the road against a pretty good team. The line is either Browns are favored or the underdog by only a point, right? So that means it's a toss-up kind of game. And these are the games that determine, you know, your record at the end of the year, how you do in these road games that are expected to be close.
Well, after week 3, the Bengals have a better record than the Chiefs. That's just something throwing out there. But as things, you know, you always look to find some interesting things that are happening. Of course, that just means it'll be kind of tougher for us here in the AFC North as we get through those different teams as well. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Scott Patrick joining us this morning, talking Browns football, brought to you by Jamelis Wilson, Merrill & Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and also Royal Business Equipment.